We are in the second part of a sermon series titled The Resident. The Resident is a reference to the Holy Spirit of God who comes to make his dwelling in us when we believe in Jesus. This is a truly extraordinary idea and experience. God residing in us, God living in us. Imagine you have to take a work trip with the CEO of your company. CEOs fly business class. Many of us may not have yet got to business class, but I believe we'll get there soon enough. Right now, we're still in the economy. So here are two ways in which the travel with your CEO will play out. He will fly business class and you will fly economy class. That's one way the trip could play out. Another way, if your CEO is, you know, really likes you, if you're really good at your work, and if he's in a generous mood, he might upgrade you to business class. But there is no way your CEO is going to step down to fly economy class with you. This is impossible. Your CEO and mine, I can assure you, I know my CEO very well, he will never step down to economy class to fly with me. But God is willing to step down from heaven to make his residence in you and me. God's Holy Spirit living in us is truly remarkable. This is not just God helping us. This is not just God blessing us. This is not just God guiding us. This is not just God visiting us. This is much more magnificent than all of these beautiful realities. This is God living in us. Immediately, this begs a question. Why on earth would God want to live in us? Surely, it's not that God doesn't have a place to live. Surely, it's not that God is looking for a flat to live in. Mumbai, we're always searching for flats, searching for apartments. It's not that God's looking for a place to live in. It's a very simple answer. God's Holy Spirit resides in us so he can constantly help us to enjoy Jesus and to display Jesus to the world. The Holy Spirit resides in us to constantly help us enjoy Jesus and to constantly help us display Jesus to the world. Jesus did some amazing things for us. He was sinless. He was a sinless and a perfect man. Even those who crucified Jesus couldn't find any sin in him. And they crucified him because they accused him of blasphemy because he claimed to be the Son of God, because he claimed to be God himself. But even though the Jews accused Jesus of blasphemy, even though the Roman government sentenced him to death, even though the soldiers mocked him and mauled him and nailed him to the cross, even though all of these people did all of these things, ultimately, it was God who gave up his son Jesus as a sacrifice to die for your sins and mine. And he rose again from the dead. That's what Jesus did. He died bearing the punishment for your sins and mine. And so the first work that the Holy Spirit does in us, he takes this reality, this truth, this fact, this power of what Jesus did for us. He brings it home to our heart and he helps us day by day enjoy and experience what Jesus did for us. That's one of the reasons he takes up residence in our hearts. So he can be in us and draw us and help us to enjoy and experience Jesus. We saw this in the first week of the series. We saw that the Father conceived the gospel. It was Father God's idea that he would send his son Jesus to die for your sins and mine, and we can be reconciled to God. We sung the song, Break Our Walls Down. One of the greatest walls we build is the wall of self-reliance. We believe we can have access to God. We believe by our good deeds, by living good lives, we can have access to God. But we never do that because God's standard of holiness is so high. God knew we can never reach Him. And so God asked His Son, Jesus, to go become a man and die for us on the cross. So the Father conceived the gospel. The gospel is the good news of who Jesus is and what He did for us. The Son came in love and obedience to His Father. And the Son, Jesus, executed the gospel. And so the work of the Holy Spirit is to apply this gospel in our hearts. So the first work of the Holy Spirit is to help us enjoy Jesus. But there is also a second work of the Holy Spirit. And this morning, we're going to be focusing on the second work of the Holy Spirit, which is how does the Holy Spirit help us display Jesus to the world? The truth and the experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a big part of the answer to that question. And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But before I dive into this, allow me to talk for a moment to those of us who are not followers of Jesus. In New City, we always enjoy having people who are exploring Jesus. And we want to create a safe place where you can explore Jesus at your own pace. I'm going to request you to think about a couple of questions. Why do you come to New City? Why, for those of us who are not followers of Jesus, why do you choose to spend Sunday morning with us? Have you seen Jesus? Do you believe in Jesus? I know I've had several conversations with many of you. You're still exploring Jesus. But some of you are coming week after week. You know, we've been friends for a year, maybe more than some of us. Why do you come? I'm guessing that you come because you feel loved here, because you feel accepted here. But let me say this, and I say this with humility, you have not seen Jesus yet, but you are seeing hints of Jesus in the way we love you. And it is the Holy Spirit who's enabling us to display Jesus to you by the love that Jesus has filled our hearts with. And the reason we are attractive as a community to you is, and you feel comfortable and accepted and you find this community helpful, is because the Holy Spirit is enabling us to display and the love of Jesus to you. And I want you to think about this question: where do we find the power to love people? That's the work of the Holy Spirit in us, enabling us to display Jesus in the best way that we can display Him, by loving our friends. For those of us who are not followers of Jesus, it is quite possible that you've never heard about the Holy Spirit. Or you may have heard about Him, but you have no idea who He is or what he does. Let me say this, I said this last week, let me say this again. I believe that there are going to be moments in this series where you will experience the work of the Holy Spirit in you, even though you may not yet be a follower of Jesus. He will tug at your heart. He will generate an interest in God in your heart. He will soften your heart. He will fill your heart with an inexpressible joy. He will bring you to repentance and to faith in Christ Jesus. And all I ask of you this morning is, if you experience any of this, would you consider allowing the Holy Spirit to work in you? Would you allow the Holy Spirit to help you believe in Jesus? Because that's what He does. So the Holy Spirit helps us to enjoy Jesus, and He helps us to display Jesus. This morning we're looking at the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to base my teaching on this from a book in the Bible called The Acts of the Apostles. This is a great story. It's a gripping narrative of how the early church was born and formed soon after the death and the resurrection of Jesus. I'm going to be reading a passage from Acts chapter 8, verses 5 to 8, verse 12 and 14 to 17. I'm reading from the NKJV version. Then Philip was a follower of Jesus. He went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes, with one accord, heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. When they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Allow me to just pray for a moment before we go on this morning. Father, we thank you. Jesus, we are just so grateful to you, Lord. You promised us, Jesus, that you will not leave us as orphans. You promised us that when you go, when you ascend into heaven after your death and resurrection, you will send your Holy Spirit. You will come and live in us. So this morning, we hold you to your word. With audacity that comes only by faith, we ask you, would you honor your word by pouring your Holy Spirit upon your children? We know that we can never manufacture, we can never create the work of the Holy Spirit, and you're not going to try this morning, Lord. The only thing we're going to exert ourselves in is exerting ourselves in faith, in believing in Jesus, that he is true to his word. And so, honor this faith of ours, we pray. And as you promised, will you pour out your Holy Spirit upon every one of us in this hall without exception. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. This passage talks about three very distinct things that many people in the city of Samaria experienced when Philip started preaching about Jesus. First, many of them believed in Christ Jesus. They became followers of Jesus. They were born again. Second, they were baptized in water. For those of us who don't know what baptism is a public proclamation of our faith in Christ Jesus. It's a beautiful expression of our love for Jesus. In baptism, we're basically saying, Jesus, I love you so much that I want to identify with your death and your resurrection. So in baptism, there's a pool of water here, and for those of us who want to be baptized, we dip them in the water, and they go beneath the water, signifying their identification with the death of Jesus, and they come back up from out of the water, signifying their participation, their identification with the repentance of Jesus. It's a beautiful way to express our love for Jesus. And if you consider yourself to be followers of Jesus, you haven't yet had the opportunity of enjoying this experience, do let me know, and I'll be very happy to kind of, it's time to do another baptism service, we'll be very happy to do that. That's the second thing that happened. They were baptized in water. There is also a third thing that happened. Peter and John heard that many of them had become believers of Jesus, followers of Jesus. They came and found that the Holy Spirit had not yet fallen upon any of them, and so they laid hands, Peter and John, and the people of Samaria, the believers, received the Holy Spirit. Three distinct experiences. They believed in Jesus, they were baptized in water, and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'd like to give us just a moment here to reflect. Have you enjoyed all of these three distinct experiences? And so this is the first thing that I'd like to draw from this passage for us. Believing in Jesus and being baptized in the Holy Spirit are two very distinct experiences, even though the Holy Spirit is fully, truly, and deeply involved in both of these experiences. Let me say this loud and clear. The moment any of us come to believe in Jesus, The moment we start believing that Jesus is God, that he is the only way to God, the moment we come to that faith, the Holy Spirit becomes a resident in us. He comes to live in us. The Bible is very clear about this. Let me just read one verse to show this to us. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. That's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, a book in the New Testament. The moment we become believers in Jesus, we are marked and the Holy Spirit comes to live in us. In fact, the Bible actually even goes one step backward and argues that no one can ever become a follower of Jesus unless the Holy Spirit enables us to believe in Jesus. And that's what the Bible says in another book from the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So it is the Holy Spirit who gives our heart, who puts faith in our hearts to believe in Jesus. So the Holy Spirit is deeply involved in our salvation, and he has taken up residency within every one of us the moment we become believers of Jesus. In other words, all of us who believe in Jesus have the Holy Spirit residing in us. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit, as we saw in this passage that we looked at this morning, is clearly a different experience. It's a distinct experience. And that's the second thing we want to look at this morning from this passage. What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit all about? What is its purpose? Allow me to first answer that question, and then I'll establish that question, establish my answer biblically. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is all about him empowering us to display Jesus. The entire purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is about empowerment for mission. Simply put, when we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, we receive power and boldness and confidence to talk to our friends about Jesus. In other words, when we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, we receive the power to tell 1,000 new city stories every day. We just find it so free and so natural and so spontaneous and so joyful and so empowering to display Jesus in word and in deed. So the entire purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is empowering us for mission. Let me establish this biblically, and I'd like to do this in two ways. First, I'd like to establish this, you can have a little bit more audio in the monitor, please. Thank you. I'd like to establish this by studying what Jesus promised about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Second, I hope to establish this biblically by biblically seeing what happened to people in the Bible who were baptized in the Holy Spirit. So first, look at what Jesus talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Second, look at the experiences of people in the Bible, what happened to them when they were baptized, when they were filled in the Holy Spirit. So first, look at what Jesus talked about baptism. After his death and resurrection, Jesus spent about 40 days with his disciples, coaching them, teaching them, enjoying his friendship with them. And then he ascended into heaven. Before he did that, he taught quite a few things. And one of the most significant teachings of Jesus just before his ascension was on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to look at least two conversations that Jesus had in this period with his disciples. In both cases, Jesus talks specifically about power coming upon the disciples, enabling them to display Jesus to the world. And here are the two conversations. The first conversation is soon after, when Jesus has risen from the dead and he's meeting many of his disciples together. And I'm going to read, this is from Luke chapter 24. I want to read just the last phrase of that. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. I'm going to send you what the Father has promised. And Jesus has been telling his disciples that I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to go away. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to rise again from the dead. And I will ascend into heaven. But you will not be alone. For when I go, I will send the Holy Spirit to come and make his residence in you. We saw that last week. And so here Jesus is clearly connecting baptism of the Holy Spirit and being filled in the Holy Spirit with power. This is described as being clothed with power to be his witnesses, to tell the story, tell the truth of his resurrection to the entire world. In the second conversation, Jesus is having a meal with his disciples, and this is what he says. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on to say, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and all ends of the earth. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. So Jesus is making it plain and simple that the baptism of the Holy Spirit, being filled in the Holy Spirit, is all about the power of God coming upon us to make us bold and confident to preach Jesus to those who do not know him yet. So in one sentence, Jesus fills us with his Holy Spirit, baptizes us with his Holy Spirit, so we can receive power to share the good news of Jesus to our friends and to everyone in the city. And that's why I said the Holy Spirit helps us to enjoy Jesus, and the Holy Spirit helps us to display Jesus. Time to ponder about one quick question. Do you desire this power to display Jesus to the city? Even as I preach, I'm praying the Holy Spirit will awaken in our hearts a desire to display Jesus. That is the only true biblical motive, to be filled in the Holy Spirit, that we might enjoy Jesus and that we might display Jesus. Even as I preach, I'm praying that God will put in our hearts a desperate thirst to be filled in the Holy Spirit. And after the sermon, we're going to have time of worship and singing and a time of prayer. I want to encourage us to cry out to Jesus, asking him to fill us with his Holy Spirit. So that was the teaching of Jesus in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I promise that I'll also share experiences people in the Bible had of what happened to them when they were filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to talk about three such experiences. The first experience I want to talk about is, I want to talk about the experience of Jesus himself. Jesus, for pretty much the first 30 years of his life, didn't do too much public ministry, hardly any preaching and teaching, hardly any healing of people. He didn't do that. Then there came a point when he was baptized by John. I think we all know the story. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too, and he was praying. As he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. Soon after this, Jesus, of course, was tempted in the wilderness by the devil. But soon after this, he begins his public ministry. Jesus began preaching. He began displaying the kingdom of God only after he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. It was a defining moment in his life and ministry. Can we dismiss this merely as a coincidence? Or is it indeed God's plan for us to receive power, be empowered by his Holy Spirit to display Jesus? The second example I'd like to give us is the example of Paul, one of the greatest disciples of Jesus. When did Paul become a follower of Jesus? Paul was actually against the followers of Jesus. He was actually persecuting them. He was actually part of the group of people who were actually killed by stoning one of the followers of Jesus. But soon after that, he was on the road to another city called Damascus, and he was going to Damascus to actually persecute followers of Jesus. On the way, he has an incredible encounter with Jesus in the form of a blinding light. Jesus speaks to Paul, and Paul is actually blinded. At that moment, that was the moment when Paul becomes a follower of Jesus. But let me just read a verse of something that happens soon after this. Then Ananias, who's another follower of Jesus, went to the house and entered it. This is the house where Paul was staying, and after his encounter with Jesus, placing his hands on Saul, Paul was called Saul before this encounter with Jesus. He said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who has appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Now, soon after this experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit, we see Paul, and that's it's right here for us. Paul spends a few days with disciples in Damascus, and at once he began to preach in the synagogues. Again, we see three distinct experiences. Paul believes in Jesus, and then when Ananias comes, visits him, prays for him, he's filled in the Holy Spirit, and then he's also baptized in water. And when he's filled in the Holy Spirit, Paul can no longer pull himself back. He preaches with great authority about Jesus. And again, a question for us: have we enjoyed all three of these beautiful experiences? The third experience I want to talk about what happens to believers when they're filled in the Holy Spirit, is also from the book of Acts. Peter and John and the other apostles were preaching about Jesus soon after the death and the resurrection of Jesus, and a lot of people are getting healed. Incredible miracles are happening. But the Jews and the religious authorities who didn't like Jesus and killed him were not happy at all with this. So they arrest Peter and John. They throw them into jail. And it is only later they release Peter and John. And when Peter and John are released from prison, they meet with the other disciples and they pray together for grace to continue preaching Jesus with boldness. I mean, being thrown into prison for preaching Jesus is a traumatic experience. Going to jail is not a joke. And, you know, being persecuted, being arrested, put in jail can be a traumatic experience. So they come together with believers and they pray. And this is what happened when they prayed. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Being filled in the Spirit enabled them to display Jesus to the city. Allow me to point something really interesting here. If you actually read their prayer in Acts 4, we won't read that for lack of time, but if you actually go back and read that, they did not pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They only prayed for boldness and power to preach Jesus. And God answered that prayer by filling them with the Holy Spirit so they can preach the word boldly despite being persecuted by the very people who crucified Jesus to death. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, or the filling of the Holy Spirit, is all about being empowered to display Jesus to the city. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is all about being empowered for mission. Do we desire this empowerment? Do we desire this power that will enable us to share the good news of Jesus? How many of us desire to talk about Jesus with our friends who do not yet believe him, but actually feel a little unsure, maybe even scared, anxious, apprehensive about having those Jesus conversations with our friends? We want to, we desire to, but we're just not able to very often. And if this is where we are, then we desperately need to be filled with God's Holy Spirit. He's already living in us. He hasn't left us. He's residing in us. He's going to be with us. He's a seal with which we are marked. We just need fillings again and again. And even this passage that we just saw, these are people who've already been baptized, who have the Holy Spirit living in them when the moment they believed in Jesus. But they receive another filling of the Holy Spirit to be empowered for mission. This actually takes me back to last week, and where we kind of really tried to understand what is the work of the Holy Spirit. Who is he? What is his primary work? And allow me to just quickly touch upon what we touched upon last week. The primary work of the Holy Spirit is to glorify Jesus. The Holy Spirit will never draw attention to himself. He will direct all attention to Jesus. The Holy Spirit will never glorify himself. The Holy Spirit will always glorify Jesus. The Holy Spirit is not primarily about signs and wonders. The Holy Spirit is not primarily about spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit is not primarily about supernatural things. The Holy Spirit is not primarily about miracles. The Holy Spirit is primarily about Jesus. The work of the Holy Spirit is to help us enjoy Jesus and display Jesus. I'd like to close with one all-important question. One question and three quick answers to the question. How can I be baptized in the Holy Spirit? How can I be filled in the Holy Spirit? I want to talk about three very, very simple steps. We don't have to strive to this. We don't have to manufacture everything. We don't have to create anything. God does this because He has promised us three very simple things for us to be filled in the Holy Spirit. First, the Bible says, ask. Ask. Allow me to share something with Jesus. Spoke to his disciples. Which of your fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If then you, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? That's pretty simple. Ask him. He's promised us. He's not going to leave us alone as orphans. Hold him to honor his word. He is God. We can pray with that generosity. Jesus, honor your word. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. The second step is to wait. Prayerfully wait. And if you see, Jesus tells his disciples to wait. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. You know, there were 120 people in the upper room. We all have read about it, those of us who haven't read this portion of the Bible. Soon after Jesus ascended into heaven, 120 people were waiting in an upper room and they were praying, and all of them were filled with God's Holy Spirit. Do you know how long they waited in that upper room to receive the promised gift of the Holy Spirit? About 10 days. The Bible doesn't specifically say 10 days, but it's pretty clear. The day of Pentecost is the 50th day from the Sabbath of the Passover when Jesus laid in the tomb. We know Jesus rose again and spent 40 days with his disciples. And Pentecost is the 50th day, so that means 10 days they spent waiting in prayer. There is a waiting involved in being filled in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is like the wind. He is sovereign. We cannot program his presence. He is sovereign. He is free to come as he chooses. He is free to fill people as he chooses. We come in humility, begging God to fill us with his Holy Spirit. So if we ask Jesus to baptize him with his Holy Spirit, and if we wait in humbly, prayerfully, he will baptize us because he has promised that. Why would he not honor his word? The third thing we do is worship Jesus. You see, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit always work together in synergy. When we worship Jesus, first, our ability to worship Jesus, our desire to worship Jesus itself comes from the Holy Spirit. And when we worship Jesus, he comes in and he fills us.